I think if Rusty would have held that just a little bit longer, he would have had all the women like, oh, poor Rusty. It was on that verge there. Good job, Rusty. We're going to be in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 40. As we're talking about our moments with the Master, this is one in a series of different individuals who met Jesus with various needs from various backgrounds to how Jesus dealt with each one of them. And by the way, we won't necessarily touch on you in this story, but we actually will be touching on you in this story, because there was a time where we met Jesus ourselves from our various backgrounds and our various needs, and he met every one of our needs as far as salvation, amen? And so we're going to get into part number two. It seems like I've got all these messages since I started here in the new year that we're keeping them on the same parts all together here as we go through these studies. Last week in this area on a transforming moments with the Master, we talked about a transforming moment is where we're at. And we looked at a couple of things two Sundays ago because of the weather. We looked at the condition of this leper that Luke records this story also. And as a physician, remember, he said that this man was full of leprosy. He was in the final stages. And we had talked about how leprosy, well, the longest a person usually lives is 9 years once they contract the disease. And he was in the final stages of perhaps even passing here. So we looked at his condition. We saw a couple of things. We saw his disease, and then we saw his desire. And so today we're going to pick up in the second part of it. We're going to look at the compassion of the Lord. So let's go ahead and read our text once again in Mark chapter 1 and look at verse number 40, where Mark records this. It says, and there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Now, remember, a person with leprosy, that it attacks their vocal cords and everything. So it's probably a very, very raspy sound that's coming from his voice. It's not just like I'm reading it. And in verse 41, and Jesus was moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. And he, Jesus, straightly charged him and forthwith sent him away and saith unto him, see thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to, I like that phrase, blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. I mean, this guy went out and declared everything to the point where it was just overwhelming people flocking in to see what was happening. And probably also the spread of the other people who were there when they witnessed this area. But as we made mention, we talked about the condition of this man, his disease and his desire. And now as he's split the crowd, you remember he's come out of his leper colony. As he splits the crowd that's there to hear Jesus, and they see him coming, and they are dividing, and they're probably gasping and oohing and awing and even maybe hollering at him and picking up stones ready to throw at him, he walks straight to Jesus, drops on his knees, and he's about a hand's reach away, and he just simply, in that little voice of his, simply says, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean, or you can make me whole. And that's where we are in the lesson today. It would have been interesting to be a part of that crowd, to have seen what was happening as they split, and they're watching what this man's going to do. And they see the man drop down to his knees right there in front of Christ, and they witness this man's sickness. They witness his desire from his heart. This is somebody's child, somebody's husband, probably, and father, uncle, and we can go on and on and on, and friend. But everybody now is not overwhelmed, perhaps, by the man's condition and what that means to them. They could catch this if they came in contact with him. But how was Jesus going to respond? And we see the compassion of the Lord. Matter of fact, it says clearly in verse 41, and Jesus moved with compassion. That's our Savior, folks. Amen. When a person comes that is hopeless and helpless and bring their burden to Christ, he shows compassion. It's been years since anybody has touched this man. If he was a married man, it's been years since he felt his wife's hug, or if he was a father, his children rubbing up, you know, and hugging him, and grandchildren, whatever it may be. It's been years and years and years since he's ever felt the human touch. And the Bible tells us that in his compassion, and we know that Jesus could but speak the word and he would be healed. He did it from a great distance. Remember when the centurion soldier had a sick servant? He said, I'm not worthy that you would come into my house, but if you would just but speak the word, he will be made whole. And he was a great distance away, and he said, I will. And that man went home. His servants came out and met him, and he said, he's alive, he's well, he's healed. He goes, what time did he heal? He goes, at this time here. And he knew it was exact. Jesus could have just spoke. But Jesus did the unthinkable in dealing with a leper. And by the way, Jesus had healed lepers before, and usually he spoke to them. This is the only one that's recorded in this setting of leprosy that here Jesus, in compassion, reaches out. And that man, if he had any feeling at all, felt Jesus touching. Understand that to touch a leper, to touch one that was unclean, was strictly forbidden by the law. Touching a leper could possibly cause you to transfer their disease to yourself that would begin to affect and infect you. Now, I don't know that morning when that leper heard that Jesus was around and he would determine in his heart to go see him. I don't know what he was expecting. He was probably hoping for healing. That's why he went by faith. But he knew what he had. He knew the Old Testament law, what it required. He knew that as he was walking, the people would be disgusted. Remember, there was a nasty, nasty stench that came off of them. And this disgusted crowd watched Jesus reach out and place his hand on this leper. How glorious that touch was. Amen? As that man is on his knees and he feels Jesus touch him with a touch of compassion, sympathy. What was different about this touch than any other touch is that the leprosy did not transfer and infect Jesus. Jesus' touch transferred and affected the leprosy. The touch of deity cleansed. The touch of sin or leprosy did not contaminate. It's an incredible story as we look at this area here that Jesus is cleansing this man from this wicked, wicked disease. And it made me start thinking personally, because I think sometimes we forget when we're reading Scripture to personalize ourselves in it. And it made me go back and think in June of 1979, when I knelt down on my knees and felt Jesus touch me in his compassion and take away my sin. I remember kneeling down before him, probably not these words, but the same thought, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And Jesus said, "I will. Be thou clean." And I hope that we don't forget that cleansing. I hope that we're not people that remember when there was the 10 lepers cleansed, 9 did not return to give thanksgiving, but 1. I pray that we don't forget what God has done for us and go on living our lives as if we deserve it, but to return back as that one leper did, who, by the way, Jesus brings about was a Samaritan. We sing the song, "He touched me. Oh, he touched me." We see the compassion of the Lord. Do you remember the touch of the Master, where you were released from the bondage of your sin? When you were in that situation of helplessness and hopelessness, do you remember how good it felt to go down as a sinner and to rise up by the grace of God, who's now your Savior? If you say, "I remember that day," then you are remembering the glorious touch of Jesus on your life. That day should never, ever be forgotten. If you don't remember it, you should ask God, "Take you back. Take me back to Calvary." Matter of fact, it wouldn't hurt to go into the Gospels and begin to read the trial and all those stages that took him to Calvary for you and for me. The compassion of the Lord was revealed by his touch. It was revealed by his touch. That's all it took. "I will. Be thou clean." Remember the condition of the leper. Now we see the compassion of the Lord contrasted. It was not only revealed his compassion by his touch, but his compassion was revealed in the transformation. The Bible tells us in verse 42, as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed. I think back of stories that we've read in the Bible that as soon as that man who had the legion, when they cast out the devils, he was seated and in his right clothed and in his right mind. It happens immediately. I'm glad salvation doesn't take a long time to develop. Amen. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord is what? Saved. The moment they call out to him, it's salvation. The moment here, the Bible says, as soon as he had spoken, as he touched the man, I think there would have been, and I don't think I'm exaggerating here, but I think as soon as the crowd was watching and he's knelt down there, and this guy had to be, if he was full-blown, had to be nasty, folks. And I think as Jesus touched him, and he says, I will, the moment he touched him, I bet you that crowd, you could probably hear a, I will. Be thou clean. It's gone. It's gone. It is gone. It's not less than it was. It's not in the process of beginning to heal. It is gone. We think about the song, gone, 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 my sins are gone. Immediately. As soon as Jesus touched him, he is made clean. His leprosy is instantly departed, and his skin is made new. I'll bet you, I don't know how old this guy was, but we know that leprosy, that means if there was pieces of him that had fallen off. Think about this, folks. If he's in the full stage of leprosy, that means that there could be ears that are off, gone, the nose could be gone, limbs, fingers, all that could be, have already passed and has come. Because remember, he's just being eaten up and consumed by this. The raspiness of his voice, all of those things were healed instantaneously, and that means that the fingers were back. If there was any disfiguration of the face with all the stuff, the boils type things that were just draining, all of that is gone. It's healed 100% by the touch of the Master. It all departs. He is a new, this almost sounds like it could be a Bible verse. He's a new creature, a new creation in Christ. Amen. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. He may have been, as much as he might have been disfigured, he may be, don't want to offend anybody, but he may be, at this point in time, better looking than you. Huh? Oh, to have new, I'm just going to say this because I'm getting up in age, oh, to have new, fresh skin. Huh? How many of you, I mean, some of you, we have a lot of elderly people here, praise the Lord. And I don't know how people operate as you age. I don't know how you think when you get old. But surely we slow down a little bit and notice it, right? Not just the aches and pains, but one day you're doing something. Oh, my skin is starting to look, what do they call that, crepe? Crepe, look, that crepe. What do they call it, crepey? Like it gets all that little, it looks old, right? And it's already, what's happening to me, you know? You call it turkey, whatever you want. Yeah, it's not good. Start getting stuff around here, bags under your eyes. And it's the process. This guy had new skin. He had fresh skin. Man, what a day that's going to be, amen, when we get a new glorified body that doesn't age. I've said this before. There was a couple at our former church at Fair Park. He was a tall guy. He was probably 6'4", 6'5", Bob. His wife was probably close to 6 foot herself. They were in their 80s, mid-80s. And the first time after they visited the church, we went over to visit with them and had old pictures on the wall. Anybody have old pictures on the wall? And they had a picture of when they got married on the wall. They were probably 60 plus years of marriage by that time. And I remember walking over, I said, "Now, who is this?" "Oh, that's me and Bob when we got married." True, is it not? I don't even have to say another word. But what came to my mind was, man, you guys was a good-looking, hot couple. Young people think that old people have always been old. Do we not? I mean, that's how they... Wait, it's happening. It's coming. If you're lucky, and I hate to use that word lucky, but if you're, what's another word? Privileged to grow old. With all of its hardships and all of its, what it does to you, it's still a privilege, by the way. I've got nephews that both died in their 20s, early 20s. It's a privilege to grow old. Even with all the struggles and all the trials and all the aches and pains and all the changing and all of those things. One of my favorite things on social media, every once in a while you'll see it come through. It's either a man or a woman, and they're old. They're old. And they're looking into a mirror, and they see themselves when they were young. And it's like, wow. By God's grace, that will all flip around again. Amen? When we are given that glorified body. You know why that's going to happen? His compassion. And by the way, I like that it says that it's his compassion because the Bible says his compassions fail not. Amen? One day. Just as he spoke and it immediately changed this man, there's coming another day when the trumpet's going to sound and Jesus is going to cry out, "Come forth." He's going to speak. Immediately, all of our family, our friends, our loved ones, our spouses are going to rise immediately from the dead. Completely glorified bodies. Transformation by the word spoken because of his compassions. And then we, if we're still here, and we're going to go through a transformation ourselves. Our bodies will change instantaneously. We'll be, as they're heading up, we'll be caught up with them. And man, this globe will look like that size to us as we're veering away from it. Amen? Get out of here. His compassion. Don't forget about the Lord's compassion. When the sinner comes to Christ in the right spirit, seeking God's touch, his grace, his compassion, and they receive it, they are no longer lost. They have been found, amen? No longer sitting in darkness because they've seen the light. They're no longer dead in trespasses and sins because he's quickened us and made us alive. We're no longer an outcast, an alien of God. We become the children of God by grace through faith. Incredible story. Incredible transformation. If you don't really know Jesus, as your Savior. The Bible says, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. We can know for sure. Do you think, let me ask you this question. When this man rose up, do you think that he knew that things were different? Do you think that he knew that God had transformed him? Do you think he doubted? I don't think he did. He could see it. He could feel it. And when we are sinners and we come, you will know beyond a shadow of doubt that your sins have been lifted and you are forgiven. David said, he pulled me up out of a horrible pit and set my feet upon a rock. Can you know the difference of the two? You sure can. If you don't know the difference, if you don't really know, maybe you've gone to church all your life, you could relate with Nicodemus, who came at nighttime because he didn't want anybody to think anything. I would hope and I would pray that by the grace of God, there's not a single person in any church that I have preached at, whether it's here or Fair Park or Benton or Calvary, where those people under the ministry thought they were saved and are not. And by the way, that does happen. My last church in New Hampshire, this couple, great people, both of them brought up in a good, solid Christian homes where they went to church and Bible preaching took place. And out of the blue, I asked the husband when he was wanting to join the church, so if you knew today, right now, that you died and stood before God and God said, Alex, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you tell him? And I'm waiting for him to say that I have placed my complete trust and faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ as my Savior. And he goes, well, I've been a good husband. And I did my best to provide for my family. And he begins to go on with the list of things which the Bible says is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. And I looked at Alex. I said, I pray you don't die today. I pray you don't stand before God today. I said, because if yes, your answer to him, he's going to look at you and he says, I depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. That's being brought up in a Christian home in a Bible-believing church. Even the church that he was leaving to come to because of they had moved was a good, solid church. And he got saved that day. He got down on his knees right there in their own living room and was touched by the compassion that transformed his life. Good man now leads his family scripturally. I was at Fair Park and there was an older gentleman, very, very dressed up guy. I mean, he dressed with, I mean, it's like the, what do they call those, thumbtacks or something? Huh? French cuffs and what? Cufflinks. I mean, he dressed to the heel. Just a sharp, they were in their 80s. Just a good couple. They actually came to the church during 9/11. We'd opened up our church for people that anybody wants to come in, just pray. They came in their 80s. We just wanted to come in and pray for our country. Talked to them. Gave us a good testimony of salvation. They knew the right words. It seemed like she was truly saved. Found he got put in the hospital. He's getting close to dying. He's there on hospice care before they start going into the things where they go to sleep and all that stuff. We do, by the way, what do they call that? Euthanasia? We don't do that here. It's against the law. Not really. Not really. When they start pumping stuff into you, there's different types of medicines. What's that one? Anybody know that at very end, help take away the pain? Morphine. Sorry, I hope I'm not offending anybody, but once they start putting morphine into people, I think it's a form of euthanasia once it happens because they go pretty soon after that. Yeah, yeah. We call it whatever we want, but I'm not opposed to it. You know, I may need it one of these days. I hope not. But when he was there in that bed, and I just said, I just have to ask you, you're close to death. Yep. When you stand before the Lord and he asks you, why should I let you into my heaven? What are you going to tell him? Pastor, I don't know. You told me before that you had trusted him. He goes, I don't know now. I don't think I really have. At least, number one, I'm glad for a sensitive heart. So I went through the plan of salvation with him. And that man right there laying on his backside confessed Christ as his Savior. 1.5 days before going off into eternity. Left the room. Started to go. As a matter of fact, he was so severe in his stage that he was at, they kept a nurse right there watching him 24/7. As I walked out, this nurse steps out the door. She actually opened the door for me, and then she kind of closed it, but was watching, keeping an eye on him. She goes, excuse me, Pastor. I said, yes, ma'am. She goes, I sit here time and time again through situations like this, and the pastors or the priests, they come in, and she goes, nobody ever asked that question. She goes, it's like David said, and she knew Scripture. She goes, like David said, no man cared for my soul. She goes, when you ask that question, she goes, first off, I'm a believer in Christ. We can't openly witness to these people where we're at here in this hospital unless they start the conversation. And she goes, when you started that conversation, I started praying. Lord, in heaven, please, in your mercy, save this man's eternal soul. And she goes, I sat quietly. I listened. She goes, and when he prayed, I joined the angels in heaven, rejoicing with him. She goes, thank you. Don't ever quit doing that. Don't take it for granted that someone who says they are saved, until they're in that hour, you need to still validate it and ask them. And I said, I will do that. And I never forgot her. And I will see him one day soon. Amen. This guy gets to rise up and return. Return home. Return to his family. Return to his friend. Remember the maniac of Gadara? He went home to his family and friends and told them what great things God had done. If a person that's not saved wants to come to God, he goes, anyone that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. You'll receive the same treatment of his compassion in his touch and the healing. Thou art clean. I will be thou clean. Next week we'll continue in our final part of this story here with part number 3. Part 3 is going to be interesting because we're talking about this area here of the condition of the leper, the compassion of the Lord. Next week we're going to look at this here, the command of the law. They're still under the law here in this setting here. Jesus tells this man in verse 43, and he straightly charged him and forthwith sent him away, and he said unto him, he says something to him, see that thou say nothing to any man. By the way, that would be hard to do knowing that everybody's already there, a crowd. See thou that thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way. Now watch. Show yourself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. What does he mean in that? This guy went out and shed everything abroad. Did he go to the priest? How did the priest respond? Was the priest prepared to receive him and to fulfill the law? We'll look at that next week. And this is just one individual who had a moment with the master. We'll look at several of them And I just, like I said, I remember preaching this series, and it's been a dozen or so years ago. And sometimes I just dig through things. This is worth bringing back. I hope it is a blessing to you, because it still encourages me again. Let's all stand for prayer. If you have had the touch of Jesus, in this closing prayer, instead of me talking right off the bat and praying, why don't you thank the Lord? We're getting ready to go into a new week. We don't know what a day is going to bring forth. And just say, Lord, I want to take a minute, just say thank you for your compassionate touch on me. And so long ago, you healed me. I was shackled, as the song says, by a heavy burden. And you released me from that bondage of sin. Why don't you take time to quietly pray right now? Father in heaven, we close out this Lord's Day, this first Sunday in the month of February, and we thank you, Lord, that we were able, by your grace, because of the good weather, to gather again. We missed meeting with you and the people, dear Father, last Sunday and last Wednesday, and may we, Lord, just have a greater hunger and thirst and desire to assemble. You said that we should have that desire, even as we see the day approaching more and more, to be together. Lord, we sing in that song, Calvary. It reminds us that we spent years in vanity and pride, with no cares that you were crucified. And then when we come to that place, realizing that it was for us that you died. We thank you for that. Lord, if there is someone here today, they don't have that peace that passes all understanding, that they're kept by your power, that today would be their day of salvation. And that, Father, if there is anyone here that calls upon the name of the Lord, we have the assurance in your word that they will be saved. And may their response be that of this leper, to go and blaze abroad what you've done for them. And may they begin to tell others that I was convicted of my sin and convinced of my need of a Savior. And by grace, I asked the Lord if he would heal me and cleanse me. And he did. Give us a great week ahead of us. Help us, dear Father, even as we go out, to take the seed of your word, gospel tracts. And Lord, help us to purposely be conscious of those that are around us. And may we, if we don't have time to speak with them, at least say, hey, would you get a chance? Would you read this? And most people don't turn us away. So just pray, Father, that you would use us to sow the seed or to water it where somebody else has already sown it before, and use it to bring forth fruit for your glory. We just be sure to give you the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen.